Greetings and welcome to the 11th episode of the Pinstripe Bali podcast. I lost a little track there because I'm eating a delicious cookie and, well, that's pretty much taking up all my mental focus at the moment because I love chocolate. Anyway, I also love the Yankees and I also love my two co-hosts. I, of course, am I'm giving you a raise. With me, as always, is the chocolate cookie to my glass of milk. What would Jeter do? And Lord Duggan, how are you guys and gals doing today?
I'm fine.
All right. Duggan, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. All right. Pleasantries right out of the way. Let's start again with this week in pinstripes. The Yankees had a odd series this weekend, I guess you could say, as they pretty much, they were in KC for four games. And then they came back and faced, who did they face this weekend? I don't even remember. Or are they facing the, no, they're, I'm thinking, oh wow, I'm thinking of this week.
What? Yeah, they faced the Royals this weekend.
That's right. They faced the Royals this weekend, and now they're facing the, they came back and they're facing the Rays. Who did they face before the Royals? Oh, that's right, the Orioles. At the time, for a while there, first place Orioles. Ah, man, this cookie is really good. But that's right, the Orioles and then the Royals. Teams you normally don't think of as, you know, top-of-the-line baseball teams. But we split the series against the Orioles. I mean, we split the series against the Royals, and we lost the series against the Orioles. And a lot of it was due to either our pitching or their pitching being really good, or our offense being pretty bad. So, let's just get right into the offense of, you know, last week. Waffles, what did you think of it?
Thought it was pretty bad most of the time. I mean, the pitchers were that we faced were, you know, fine. It's not like they were terrible, but I don't think we should have looked as bad as we did. So, I mean, there were games like the last one in Kansas City where they did okay, but for the most part, wasn't very good.
Yeah, no, I mean, just either they got shut out or they left a lot of runners on base, especially in the O's series. I mean, I think outside of Granderson's two home runs, the two-run shot and the one-run shot the next day, we didn't score a run. We didn't score another run against them. And the O's, I mean, don't get me wrong, the O's pitching this year has actually vastly improved, but, you know, you just look at the offensive capabilities we have, and, you know, you just start to think, all right, this shouldn't happen. Duggan, what did you think about the offense this week?
Well, it's kind of tough to say. I mean, no one has really been, they haven't all been hitting at the same time yet. You know, someone will be hitting well, and someone else will be slumping. They haven't really, you know, guys have gotten it going. You know, Jeter has looked good. Granderson has looked good. A-Rod has looked good at times. But it hasn't really been, you know, when those guys are doing well, then Teixeira is slumping and Cano is slumping. And when those guys are hitting well, you know, there hasn't really been, it seems like at every point this year, there's a few guys in the lineup who are doing well, a few guys in the lineup who are struggling, and most everyone else is just kind of like doing okay. They haven't really had a everybody is hitting well time where they just gel, and that'll happen.
I mean, I don't know if Russell Martin's ever going to hit.
I think ever.
Do you said you think so, Duggan? You think he's going to hit eventually?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. Waffles might be right. He looks terrible.
Well, I mean, he's taking tons of walks, so you kind of have to assume that he's not really giving at bats away and that he's also not getting a ton of strikes to hit, because if you're walking that much, you're not getting that many balls in the zone. And he's got like
I don't think he's taking as many walks as he was.
Well, either way, I mean, he's got 319 on base, 316 after today on base percentage. I mean, that's he's not been like dismal or anything, and I think that the hits have to fall in. So, I mean, he certainly has been hitting well, and his approach at the plate hasn't been great, but he's always going to kind of hit for a low average.
Yeah. I love the one guy in the thread today who was like, why didn't he bunt? And I'm like, if his only role is NL pitcher status, then something's terribly wrong.
Catcher's about the same thing.
But I mean, last year he only hit .237, so I mean, it looks a lot worse when you see that his batting average is below .200. That kind of like superficially makes him look more terrible than he is. I mean, he certainly hasn't been hitting well, but I mean, if you add and say that he's hitting .220 instead of .180, it's a lot less galling to look at.
If it keeps them from giving him tons of money at the end of the season, then fine, he can not hit.
And we can go sign Mike Napoli.
God, I want Napoli.
Wow. Well, that came out wonderfully.
Not like that. He's not cute.
Speaking of wonderfully, Cano seems to be picking it up a bit with the bat. I mean, as of today, I think he has a 7-game hitting streak, so it seems like his swing is starting to come around. That grand slam he hit on the Royals on Sunday, I think that was really needed. I think hopefully that just, you know, propels him to be the Robbie we all know and love.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the results, but he does seem to be driving the ball better.
Yeah, a lot of his outs have been hard liners to people, so
yeah.
You know, some of it might just be bad luck.
And he is, for what it's worth, looking more selective at the plate this year. While that hasn't really translated into great hitting, he really hasn't been expanding the zone much. I mean, when he's been making his outs, it's been pretty much balls in the zone that he's trying to hit. He hasn't been getting himself out by chasing way outside the zone, which has been really his Achilles heel. So,
I don't know.
I mean, you could definitely say that there's evidence for the fact that he's being almost too patient and not being as aggressive early in the count. I mean, that had been something that had been really effective for him. Is just the first pitch he can see, you know, take a hit at it and see what he can do. But, you know, being patient is generally a good thing. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he needs to be more aggressive early in the count. But I honestly think that if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he'll turn it around.
Yeah, I think he's too good of a hitter not to.
Yeah, for sure.
Not Pujols, though. He's done forever.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, that brief injury to Swish, it's nice to have him back.
It's so nice to have him back.
Yes. That means less Ibanez in the outfield, of course. I still miss Gardner immensely, I can tell you that.
Well, he should be back, what, tomorrow?
Hopefully. I mean, I saw with the two games he did in AAA, one was a pretty good, and this game, I think he was 1-for-2 with a triple, 2 walks, and a strikeout. I'd say that's good reason to bring him up.
Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, he should be here.
If you really look at it, I think all of the offensive problems started when Gardner went down. If you really think about it hard.
I mean, he's a pretty patient hitter, and he's, you know, an absolute terror for other pitchers when he's on base. So I think it definitely changes how things go when he is hitting and on base and definitely in the outfield.
I know I feel better. But that's me, of course. I guess we could talk about the pitching of last week. Wasn't that bad. I mean, for the most part, I don't think there was any particular start that I can think of that was just horrendous. You know, nothing like Garcia worthy or anything like that. Can you? I know CC's start was good. Looked like Hughes had a semi-decent start for Hughes. Kuroda, for the most part, I think was okay. Nova, decent. Yeah, I mean, was there any really bad start of last week?
Not really.
No, nothing on, like, Freddy levels.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, Freddy levels are pretty, like, awful. You know, ironically, I will say this. I think he's come out of the bullpen, what, twice or three times now, and he hasn't looked that bad.
Yeah, I mean, pitching out of the bullpen's easier, and you have to kind of assume that what we saw was kind of an aberration. I mean, he's a much better pitcher than 12 ERA.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Even if he's not great, I mean, he's certainly not. No one is 12 ERA bad.
I mean, I don't know how long they're going to keep Phelps in the lineup.
Till Sunday.
Probably till Sunday when Andy comes back. And since Hughes is showing somewhat signs of improvement, you really wonder if Garcia comes out of the bullpen again this year. He probably does, just because, you know, due to injuries or doubleheaders or something like that. But we'll see. I mean,
yeah, I'd have to think that he's, with Pettit coming back and with Phelps ahead of him, he's in the bullpen. I mean, he's probably the seventh starter right now. So, I mean, if something disastrous happens or if the rotation doesn't line up and we need a spot start, then I can see him getting it.
Yeah.
I, too, think that Phelps will be back in the pen when Andy Pettit's back.
Yeah, I guess we could also talk about that, even though that's kind of minor's talk. I mean, his last start, from what I heard, his line wasn't all that great. And, yeah, then they just announced he's coming back Sunday. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about this? Waffles?
I'm very cautiously optimistic. I mean, they said that in both of his starts, he topped out at 88 miles per hour, which means that he's going to have to rely heavily on, like, movement and perfect placement. So, I mean, I don't think that he will be a rotation savior. I think that he will likely have some fine starts and some pretty bad starts. I love Andy Pettit, so I'm, you know, excited to see him pitch again, but I don't want it to be a disaster.
I'll be quite honest, if I didn't have work during that time, I might have tried to go to that game just to see Andy Pettit pitch again. But I mean, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm cautiously optimistic with Andy. I mean, he's old, and he hasn't played a full year of baseball. And there's
always hit around by the minors.
And there's always that worry that the Yankees, because they're the Yankees and because he's Andy Pettit, are really just rushing him. Like, he could, I mean, with Phelps, if you look at, you know, last week of pitching, like we said, there was no really Garcia-like start. Most of the pitching did pretty well, or decent enough where there was no real need to rush Andy Pettit up. He could have had a few more spot starts down in the minors to, you know, I guess get ready, if you will. But they say they're ready to bring him up, so we'll see. Duggan, what do you think about it?
Well, I think that you have to kind of treat all of Andy's starts in the minor leagues a bit like spring training, where you know that the line is not really so important and the stats they're putting up are not really indicative of the pitching. Because you have to think that Andy Pettit pitching to AA, AAA guys, you know, he's working on stuff. He's working on his mechanics. He's trying to get his arm loose. He's not really concerned, you know, with how the game goes or winning the game or anything like that. It's, I'm going to work on my changeup today. I'm going to work on my cutter today. I'm going to throw this specific pitch because I want to practice it, even if it's not the right pitch to throw in this game situation. And like those spring training stats, you just kind of throw them out unless they're really crazy one way or the other, or there's something mechanically wrong, or they have no velocity or no bite on some of their pitches. You're really looking not necessarily for how they do, but how they look. And while he hasn't done so well, I haven't heard anything really troubling, like, you know, all of his pitches are flat or he's missing his spots badly or anything like that that would really be indicative of he isn't ready. So even if the numbers don't look so pretty, I'd have to think that if they're calling him up, they think that he's done everything that he can do as far as getting his arm ready. And they just feel like if Andy Pettit is one of your five best starting pitchers, and clearly they feel that he is, then, and his arm is ready to go, then there's no real point in waiting, is what I'd have to think is what they are saying. And as I haven't watched any of his starts and I haven't followed incredibly closely, I kind of have to defer to their judgment and assume that they know what they're doing. But yeah, I mean, if he's getting hit around a little bit in the minors, I wouldn't be too concerned about it unless it's a function of his pitches just being not what they normally are.
No, that's actually a really good point about how these minor starts are kind of like spring training and just, you know, getting your stuff together. I mean, Halladay, you know, there were talks about his Halladay had it in the spring training, or CC didn't come out of spring training looking so hot. And, you know, they're Roy Halladay and CC Sabathia. I mean, I'm not saying Andy Pettit is Roy Halladay or CC Sabathia good, but, I mean, if he has the same stuff he had when he was, you know, Andy Pettit, then, yeah, he's probably a good fourth or fifth starter for this team. And, which is, I think, really all he's expected to be. I don't think they're expecting him to come back and be, you know, the number two or even number three or whatever, number whatever.
Well, like was said, I mean, his velocity is certainly going to be down, at least to begin the season. I mean, maybe as the weather heats up and everything, he will build up some arm strength and he can get back into the 88, 89, 90 level. But, I mean, right now you kind of have to expect him to be 86, 87. You have to kind of expect him to be a left-handed Freddy Garcia, or at least last year's Freddy Garcia, where he doesn't throw very fast, doesn't have really exciting stuff. He puts a lot of people on base and then just tries to guile and pitch his way out of it. And
I really want to see him pick off someone on Sunday. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's pretty, you're right. I guess that's pretty much where we are at Andy Pettit. Maybe it's just time to see what he can do up here. I mean, they can send him back down, right? There's no, as far as I know, clause or anything against that if he doesn't do well.
I wouldn't think that they can. I think that once you have been in the major leagues for over 10 seasons, you just kind of are not allowed to be sent down without clearing waivers, kind of automatically.
Probably not. Okay. So I'm completely wrong on that then.
I honestly am not sure, but I believe that is a rule.
No, we'll go with I'm completely wrong and you're right. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
You jerk. No. Wow, it's starting to rain here a lot. Anyway, speaking of raining, I guess, is that it for Yankees baseball of last week? I mean,
Rivera.
Rivera. Oh. Yeah.
Try to block out that painful memory.
Wait, what happened?
No, you know, we're discussing what else big happened last week in Yankee baseball. I was ready to move on to the next segment, and then the rain started to come down, and Waffles mentioned Mariano Rivera. I was like, oh, right, that did happen last week. Oh. So, yeah, that's the hugest news, I think. I'll tell you, I was talking to Waffles on the AIM at the time, and
the AIM?
Yes, the AIM, the AOL Instant Messenger. And I was, you know, writing the recap, and it was hard to write that recap because all of this news was just coming out, like, right at the same time that it wasn't just a twisted anything. It was a torn ACL. He was out for the year. And that was the hardest recap, or one of the hardest things I've ever had to write, because I love Mo. I mean, I think we all love Mo. How can you not? And, you know, you're just sitting there thinking about this. It's like, is this the end of this man's career over something as freakish as him doing what he always does and running for outfield fly balls just to
keep in shape? No. The correct word is shagging.
Oh, okay.
That is the only verb that is allowed to be used when discussing pitchers catching fly balls in the outfield.
Shagging?
Shagging.
All right.
Yes.
It's a good word. I do like that word. So thank you for correcting me, fellow co-hosts. So while Rivera was out there shagging fly balls, you know, I was typing that recap, and it was...
We were both depressed. We were just I don't want to write this.
I mean, I pretty much stopped that recap. I probably could have written another paragraph or two on that recap. I was like, no, that's enough. I'm done. I can't write anymore.
And I was trying to write the actual news story about it. I'm just like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, you know, he says he's coming back, and hopefully he can after this injury. But, yeah, I mean, Duggan, what were your feelings on it at the time?
Well, it sucks. He's good and fun to watch. I don't want him to be hurt.
No. I don't know if you were as heartbroken as Waffles and I were, just because, you know, you're made of sterner stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you just hate to see it. And I've always said, like, you know, I hate pitchers. Like, I hate Papelbon. I hate Beckett. I never want them to see them get injured. You know, it's just a game. It's just a sport. And these are these people's livelihoods, their careers, you know, what they want to do, what they're doing, you know, living their own dream or whatever. And I don't want to see anyone get injured over it or anything like that. Like, I heard the Red Sox, you know, they had a really good rookie in Middlebrooks up, and he got injured. It sucks. And with Mo, it just really hurts because, not only just because it's Mo, but it just sucks because of all the, I think, narratives and stories we're going to see in the up-and-coming weeks and months now that Robertson's closing.
Well, we're certainly going to have to deal with it. You know, I kind of said this long ago, but the first person who has to do any serious closing after Rivera is gone, you know, everything that they do that is not absolutely perfect will be greeted with, well, Mo never would have done that.
Oh, yeah.
For years. You know, every time that they hit a batter or throw a wild pitch or, God forbid, blow a save, Mo never would have done that.
Even though Mo has blown saves. And
of course he has. Of course he has. And
exactly. But you don't.
Robertson's going to screw up from time to time, and whoever we get to close after Robertson will screw up from time to time, too. And, I mean, no, they're probably not going to be as good as the best closer ever.
Slightly.
But you kind of have to just hope that at some point it stops being about Mo and starts being about, well, David Robertson, we want to pitch well, not this is how he's not as good as Mariano Rivera. And, you know, I think Robertson is well liked, so I think that he has some rope with everybody.
I think that if
Girardi had put Soriano into that role and not Rivera, I think we would have had a problem.
You mean if Robertson, not Rivera?
Yeah, sorry.
If he put Soriano in that role over Rivera,
yeah, the
heads would roll.
Okay, if he put Soriano in that role after Rivera was injured, the first time that he blew a save, his head would be hanging from Yankee Stadium. Whereas I feel like Robertson can blow a few saves and people will still be on his side.
No, I agree. Robertson, like I said, I wrote an article today about it. It's like Robertson is pretty well liked and he's good at what he does. I mean,
yeah.
I said if Robertson is as good as Robertson has been and continues that in the closer role, I think we as Yankee fans will be spoiled again, you know, because Robertson's, I think, arguably one of the best five relievers, you know, top five relievers in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic pitcher. And, you know, people always say that the ninth inning is incredibly different, and I don't know, I've never done it. I mean, I think that that's kind of something that has to vary from pitcher to pitcher, you know, does David Robertson now put a ton of pressure on himself to pitch the ninth inning, or is he just kind of another inning to him? I don't think we can automatically assume one way or the other, but I think that given enough times, I think he'll figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, I think even if he is, you know, feeling a ton of pressure right now, I would have to think that it would be kind of something that he would get used to.
Yeah, Waffles, you're a big David Robertson fan. So what do you think about all of this?
I mean, I think D-Rob will be fine. And I think that it was crazy. I had to watch the ESPN broadcast tonight, and obviously Robertson blew the save. And there were immediate responses of, well, like, what's Girardi going to do with the closer role now? And it's like, he's going to pitch David Robertson again because every closer ever blows saves. Like, it happens. We're not going to just, or we shouldn't just, like, okay, D-Rob, you're out. Soriano, you're in. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, your closer needs to have a much longer leash than one screw up.
Exactly.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I am sure.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, at least, you know, back, you know, before Robertson was officially announced as the closer, you know, the argument over putting Soriano there over Robertson was that Soriano had experience in the closer role. But for me, it's like, yeah, that was 2 years ago, and
he hasn't been very good.
Yeah, since coming to the Yankees, he hasn't really been all that reliable. I mean, I don't think he's as bad as people say he is, but I don't think he's as good as people think he's going to be if he, you know, took over the closer role. And, you know, you have to go with Robertson because he's honestly too good not to go to. I mean, I've thought for a while now he was always going to be the one to take over from Mo. And, you know, it's, I always like to say take over replace, because I agree with what Jeter said. And speaking of Jeter, I remember that was another thing that made it hard to write, because I was watching that the Yankees, you know, press room or Yankees post game after that game, and I don't think no one really even cared about the loss. All the talk was about Mo, and Jeter honestly looked like he was ready to burst out in tears, which was so sad. But I agree with what he said. You know, David Robertson's going to go out there and close games. You know, is he going to replace Mo? No, because there's no replacing Mariano Rivera. I mean, like Duggan said, he's the best reliever ever. I mean, how do you replace? There's no replacing that. You know, I don't know if even if D-Rob does as well as we hope he can do, you know, even with or without his Houdini act, I don't know if there will ever be that same sense of calm, of ease, of, you know, knowing that Rivera's coming out in the ninth. It's way too early to tell, but you just don't know.
I have a post for Friday that's coming about the closer role so far this year, and I think it's kind of funny that the argument for Soriano is that he's done it before.
The proven closer thing?
The proven closer has not really been such a good thing in 2012.
Oh, I'll tell you. Last night, I was doing the Detroit-Seattle game for my job, and I had to watch Valverde. He's another pitcher I think I now hate.
Proven closer, Jose Valverde.
Yeah, I mean, one, I mean, I don't like his, like, he's almost the bizarro Rivera, whereas Rivera is very restrained and modest. Valverde is a freaking ham, and, yeah, I'm not a fan of it, whatever, but, oh, man, he almost blew last night's save, and at some point I wanted him to. I was like, you know what, I don't care if you're on my fantasy team. I hope Montero hits a four-run home run off of you.
And then, yeah, we were hoping for that, too.
Yeah.
Then just because, screw that guy.
Cordero gave up, I think, a home run.
He was replaced today.
Yes, Heath Bell. You know, they signed him for a lot of money. He was replaced.
Carlos Marmol, replaced.
Andrew Bailey, injured. Who's the other one who was injured? Madsen, right?
Yes.
Yeah, injured. Jonathan Papelbon did not have saved, but blew it against the Mets of all teams. You know, they just swept the Phillies. Good for them. Blew a run, you know, gave up the lead. Papelbon got a 4-year ridiculous contract. So, like you said, proven closers. So I don't care, like you said, I don't care that Soriano has experience. I'll go with the guy who supposedly has the talent to do it.
Well, I think kind of the thing is, Robertson is going to have no closer experience forever until he's given a chance to close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, the way for him to get closer experience, he's not going to get it ever until he's given a chance to close. And I think that right now he's pitching so well, and I think that at this point the long-term goal has to be that, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, he's who the organization wants to be the closer. So at some point, they're going to have to see if he can do it. And right now, he's been pitching flawlessly. He had something like 30 straight scoreless innings.
This was his only, like tonight was his only bad outing all year that I can remember.
It is.
It's his only bad outing in a long time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're going to give him, if you're going to give him a shot to stick him in there, then, you know, now's the time to do it. So.
And like I said in the article I wrote today, I think it might be helpful, you know, just in terms of we have to get used to this anyway. You know, there was, you know, despite my preaching that he can pitch forever, he can't. You know, Mariano Rivera cannot pitch forever, and we have to get used to that. We have to get used to the fact that there will come a time where we will need another closer besides Mo. You know, we'll no longer have that spoiled sense of, oh, hey, Mo's coming in the ninth. This should be over. You know, it's just a spoiled feeling we've had for the past 16, 17 years now. And, you know, sometimes you maybe take it for granted, but, you know, he says he's coming back in 2013. So this year will maybe just help fans just get into that idea that, yeah, Mo's not going to be around forever, and, you know, we'll see how it goes this year, but maybe, you know, if David Robertson does as well as I really hope he can, it might give, you know, fans a sense of ease, like, yeah, Mo may be retiring and, you know, go out the best ever, but we have a decent replacement or a decent guy to take over in David Robertson, and I hope that's how it works out.
Well, I think another point is, it's not like they're jumping him up from AAA to the number one guy in the bullpen. I mean, he's in the eighth inning right now and has been the clear number two guy in the bullpen for about a full year. So there's no other stepping stone for him to go to. Like, you know what I mean? He's done everything that he can do other than closing.
Yeah, this was his most next logical step.
Yeah, it's not like they're taking him and up jumping him way up through the ranks to the closer. I mean, he has elevated, you know, kind of one step at a time to the eighth inning, and, you know, he can't pitch the 8.5 inning. I mean, you go from the eighth inning to the ninth inning. There's really no other place for him to be elevated to. And, I mean, he does throw a lot of pitches. So if, like, for example, there's a save situation tomorrow and he's thrown like 50 pitches over the last 2 days, then, you know, you give it to Soriano. You know, he did, just because he's going to be in the closer role doesn't mean he has to get every single save opportunity. And you know what? A lot of games are decided in the seventh and eighth inning anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so. And that's the luxury Robertson has given us. You know, people, that's one of the things a lot of people I've seen in articles have brought up, or at least the decent ones I've seen. You know, it's not even about is Roberts, you know, who's going to be the closer. It's more like who's going to take over for David Robertson when he leaves the eighth, because he's given us that sense of comfort there, too. I mean, with how good he's been, the game has almost been over. You know, if CeCe goes 7 innings or a starter goes 7 innings, you think, all right, you just go to Robertson, then Mariano. It should be, for the most part, it should be a done deal.
Well, I mean, I feel like one of the biggest is, like you said, not necessarily who closes and who pitches the eighth, because I feel like that is kind of trivial, as in, does it really matter if Soriano pitches first and then Robertson, or Robertson pitches first and then Soriano? That's kind of just like, you know, it's not trivial, because it matters to them over who is closing. Closing obviously comes with prestige and comes with added pressure. But as far as, you know, those in games where the Yankees have a small lead, those two guys are going to need to get 6 outs. And what we're really deciding is which one goes first. But what the real issue is that the back end depth got considerably shorter. Now we're going to see a lot more of what we saw today, where guys like Corey Wade are throwing important innings.
Yeah, and I mean, Girardi tends to bring out Boone Logan for important innings anyway. But yeah, no, it's a good point.
Boone Logan's been pitching well.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple bad games, but what reliever doesn't? For the most part, he's done the job. You know.
Yeah, I mean, right, how is Jabba doing? Anyone know?
I thought I go ahead,
Waffles. He got his, like, walking boot taken off.
That's good, because we could really use him, you know, to come back and be another guy at the end of the bullpen. Get some depth back. And I have to think that we will see some mixing and matching. You know, we will see a lot of games like today where if we needed the sixth and the seventh inning, we'll get pieced together, probably a lot of lefty-righty switches. And so we'll kind of have to see how it goes. But, you know, we definitely lost depth in the bullpen, and depth right from the top, as in everyone has to be moved up in their level of importance.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think of, you know, depth the Yankees do have, and then you look at, say, the lack of depth that the Red Sox have and what they're going through right now. So, you know, it is important, you know. Depth is definitely an important thing to have.
Yep.
Well, speaking of the Red Sox, I think let's move right into this week in baseball. Yeah, they just haven't been doing well.
Yeah, they haven't.
It's a pretty fair statement.
I mean, they look downright crappy. And I read that article you linked to today, Waffles. Man. I mean, you're right, they were really harsh on the writer. I mean, yeah, he does bring up some decent points in terms of, yeah, they're not going to blow up the team. But a lot of the posters on OTM also put up some fair points. It's like, no, this isn't a case of, like, they're good. You know, they're a good team that just looks bad. They're a bad team that looks bad because, like they said, they have no depth, and nothing was done to address that this offseason. And you're now seeing the results of it, where if someone gets injured, someone goes down, or if Lester and Beckett don't pitch well, this team is screwed. I mean, have you seen any of the Red Sox games lately?
I haven't seen a full one. I've seen bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, I mean...
But, I mean, their rotation is... I mean, the people who should be pitching well aren't pitching well. The people who shouldn't be pitching well are not, you know, awful, but they aren't very good. They seem to... I mean, they'll score a lot of runs here and there, but for the most part, they're scoring, you know, 1, 2, 3 runs, which isn't going to have a lot of success a lot of the time. They're really banged up. Uke is hurt.
Crawford. I mean, that's another
Didn't
thing.
He have like a setback or something? Like,
yeah, I think so. I think it was pushed back another month or two. I don't know.
Or like a different injury or something. I don't even know. It was something. And Ellsbury's obviously gone, and
Bailey kind of went all in last year, and it kind of blew up in their faces, and they're still stuck picking up the pieces this season. I mean, starting pitching was a glaring need for the Red Sox, and they really needed to go out and get an Oswalt or a Kuroda, and you could see that was what the front office was trying to do, is that they wanted to just get someone into the rotation on a short-term deal. And it seemed like there were guys out there. You know, Edwin Jackson signed a 1-year deal and was available, and Kuroda, who the Yankees got on a 1-year deal. And I would have to think that those were the kind of people that Ben Cherington was targeting, but they really had their hands tied by taking really all of their big trade chips and shipping them away for Adrian Gonzalez and giving tons of money to Carl Crawford, and then a big extension for Adrian Gonzalez. I mean, they already had their roster pretty much set, and when things didn't really fall out the way they wanted them to, Cherington kind of had to say, well, look, we kind of have to sink or swim with the guys that we have. You know, this was the team that he inherited, and he didn't have a ton of wiggle room. With that said, I don't think that they've necessarily done great things. I think that a lot of their moves have been of questionable merit, and I think that... But really, I mean... Some of the things that seemed really questionable at the time, like getting rid of Scudero and playing Mike Aviles. I mean, Mike Aviles has been doing fine.
He's not the major problem.
Yeah.
But it was odd that they traded Scudero and then used the money to Cody Ross.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure Cody Ross and Ryan Sweeney have also kind of been doing fine. But yeah, I mean, their number one issue was not having good starting pitching. But I mean, the guys that they've kind of gone with in their last, because I know it wasn't their first plan, you know, like Felix DuBrandt, their back end has been doing about as well as could be hoped. I mean, they certainly have been pitching well, but they haven't been a real disaster either. They've kind of had to do some dumpster diving and bargain hunting. And I mean, Charrington's moves have not really been terrible. I mean, there hasn't been any real disasters in what he's done, but there also has been some kind of inactivity, and there are problems with this team that are really not being addressed. But at the same time, I think his hands really are tied. There's only so much you can do because they have a core of guys who are making a lot of money who can't really be, you know, if Kevin Youkilis is going to be hurt a lot, which he has been, that's a huge problem for this team. If Carl Crawford is going to continually be hurt or on the disabled list, that's a huge problem for this team. If Clay Buchholz is not the pitcher who they thought that they had when he had such a good, promising young player, that's a big problem.
And he hasn't been. Buchholz has been one of their worst pitchers, if not the worst.
And there's really nothing that you can do about that. You kind of have to just say, you know, I hope that they get better. You know, you can't, you know, if these important cogs of their team are going to be so underperforming, then they're kind of screwed.
No, you're right. I mean, like, the one thing they have going for them is that Bard and DuBrandt aren't doing that badly. I mean, Buchholz is, but like you said, they have so little depth that they can't replace him.
Yeah.
They've got no one to replace him if, you know, he pitches this way for the entire time. If Bard pitched badly, I mean, I don't know who they'd get to replace him.
Aceves, probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Move Bard back to the pen.
That you're right. That's probably the only thing I can think of that would help them there. But like you said, their real problem has been they put all their money, you know, into some really questionable contracts. I mean, I just remember reading a post on OTM that said they've got more money sitting on the disabled list right now than the Rays have in their entire team contract this year. And look at the difference. And, you know, we're with the Yankees, so we're no stranger to questionable contracts and frivolous spending. But, you know, we gave $10 million to A-Rod, and for the most part, he's, you know, I don't know if you can ever live up to that long a contract and that much money, but he's been okay, I think, you know, for the most part. Jeter, we gave him a massive contract, and you know, he's definitely fulfilled his contract, I think. You know, I think the main person who's not living up to their contract right now might be Mark Teixeira, but I don't think he's doing so badly as to the problems that the Red Sox have with what the money they've spent and the results they've gotten.
Well, any time you dish out a big contract, you're always taking a risk, and honestly, most big contracts do not end well.
No.
Most big contracts, you hope that the first few years are going to be the good years, and then you deal with it at the end of the contract. You know, you give A-Rod 10 years and over $200 million, and you say, all right, well, his first five seasons, we're going to have a really, really great player. And then those last five seasons, you know what, we'll absorb the financial hit. And while A-Rod was certainly, you know, they certainly gave him more than they needed to, and that was what I would say was definitely a big error. That does tend to be the way it goes with those big contracts, is you have to hope that you do your winning when at the beginning of the contract when the guys are still pretty young, and then those last few years you kind of suffer through. And that is the price that you pay for top talent. But their problem has been this is the first few years of the contract. This is the beginning of the Agon's contract. This is the beginning of the Crawford contract, and they're not winning. You know, they are kind of all in to win now, and they're not winning now.
Yeah,
because they're not built for the future.
They're definitely not. Their farm is a mess.
Yeah, I mean,
because of Adrian Gonzalez.
They they traded their best prospects and signed big contracts. So, you know, they were, and they had a fantastic team last year. I mean, they certainly had issues that I think could have been dealt with better. But, you know, there was a reason that in the middle of the season, they were the best team in baseball. Like, they had a, on paper, they had a fantastic team last year, and they were built to win. But, you know, injuries stomped them, and Carl Crawford being a disaster was a big problem. And, you know, obviously, lack of depth in the rotation. The rotation kind of fell apart. But with a less dramatic collapse, or, you know, maybe they trade for a back-end starter at the trade deadline, and they make the playoffs. I mean, that was a World Series caliber team, I think. If a few things went a little differently than they went, I think that team could have won the World Series. But they would have been questionably built for the future.
I joke and stuff, like, with, you know, all our joking about the 2011, you know, World Series champions, because obviously we hate the Red Sox. But, no, that was a really good team last year. It was. I mean, they lost for the reason I said they would lose, but, I mean, even I couldn't have predicted that, you know, what happened to them last year, just because, I mean, I said, you know, their pitching depth, you know, for all their talk of their offense, which the previous year was not a problem. There was no problem with their offense the previous year. They just replaced good offensive players with a couple of good offensive players, one of which, who, like you said, Carl Crawford, just, you know, flamed out, it seems. You know, I can't explain that massive a collapse. I think it was the will of Brett Gardner, but, you know, that's just me.
I really hope it was.
Wouldn't that be so sweet? But no, I mean, the reason, you know, they had no pitching depth. They had the same pitching issues as the Yankees did last year. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, this is the beginning of these, you know, mega contracts for them. And, you know, they have to hope that not only does Carl Crawford come back, but that he plays like the Rays' Carl Crawford and not the one they signed and the one they got last year.
Yeah.
You know, they're relying on Daisuke to come back. Daisuke hasn't been good for them for years. So, you know, that's not really something to look forward to.
But at the end of the day, they still have John Lackey, and that makes me happy.
Speaking of awful contracts.
Not this season.
Well, no, but he's still there next season.
He is.
Speaking, you know, while we're on the topic of mega contracts, not that we have to go that deep into who's going to pay him, but Josh Hamilton's really good at baseball.
He's really good.
Yeah, a healthy Josh Hamilton is a terror.
Yeah. I had the Detroit Seattle, but the game before that I had was that Orioles Rangers game in which Josh Hamilton hit four home runs in a row. What a feat. I mean, that's incredible. And they weren't like cheap home runs too. I don't know if you saw the highlights of them.
Oh, I did.
They were pretty much bombs.
Yeah, three of the four were hit to almost dead center.
Yeah. I mean, these weren't,
and the other one was opposite field.
Yeah, these aren't cheap home runs. These were bombs. And, like, I was just yelling. It's like, why are you pitching to him? Hasn't he done enough? But what a feat. I mean, and I love the article Jeff Sullivan wrote about what happened after that feat, how everyone started talking about, you know, what kind of contract he's going to get. It's like, look, let's enjoy the fact that this man just hit 4 2-run home runs in a row before we get to, like, contract talks about him.
Josh Hamilton is ridiculous, be that as it may. I don't want the Yankees to sign him.
I don't see how they can.
I don't think so either.
I mean,
I'm not saying they would. I'm just saying that, like, stranger things have happened. Rafael Soriano.
I mean, if we're talking about only being able to keep either Granderson or Swish, then I don't see how the Yankees could sign Josh Hamilton, because he will get a pretty decent deal. I mean, despite his troubles, he's still gonna...
He's gonna get paid.
Yeah, he's gonna get the money. And the years.
I think he ultimately ends up in Texas, but I've heard from Rangers fans that they don't really want him to, which is kind of weird, but I mean, I can understand for the same reasons why I don't want the Yankees to sign him, because I don't think it'll end up being a very good deal. But
I mean,
well, I think people are always going to have reservations about him.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any way not to have reservations about him. He gets hurt a lot. He has punished his body. You kind of have to wonder how frail he is. There's, you know, there's definitely reason to be concerned.
Yeah. I mean, it's why I think if, like, Reyes was healthy for a majority of his career, he would have gotten a lot more money than what he got. Because, you know, a healthy Reyes is one of the best shortstops in the league. So I think his injury, you know, he still got a decent amount of money. But
yeah, he only got like $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
You know, cheap, you know, the chump change. And, but yeah, I mean, the reason I don't want Josh Hamilton is not just because of, you know, all the problems you mentioned, but because, because
he plays left field and Brett Gardner plays left field.
Yeah, besides, I mean, besides that aspect.
He can't handle New York.
No. I just, again, I just like, and mind you, the Rangers have a decent amount of superstars. I just like teams having their, you know, their own superstar, and I think Josh Hamilton is definitely one of them.
Rangers have enough. They don't need any more.
Well, we can take another one off their hands. Like Napoli. How about that?
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
But I think also with the contract thing, the Yankees, I think, are worrying more about Cano's big contract more than signing Josh Hamilton. Because I hope, like they've been saying, maybe he only gets 6 years, which in my opinion would be a dream, but I really think he's going to want like 8 years and a lot of money.
And well, I mean, if you look at the extensions that have been given out to second basemen recently, Brandon Phillips and Ian Kinsler, Cano is going to want at least that. Probably more.
If he gets Kinsler's contract, I think I'd be happy with that.
But, I mean, you have to think that Scott Boras is his agent. Cano is obviously more... he's more of a name than Ian Kinsler.
And
so I think that he's going to do very well for himself.
Yeah, just getting back to, like, I guess finalizing baseball, it's really been a surprising, you know, run for the Orioles, I think. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
It's the beginning of the season and all of that, and, you know, everyone expects them to regress because, you know, they're the Orioles. But they've looked impressive. I'm sorry. They look like they have a decent team on that in Baltimore. You know, the pitching looks good. That Guthrie trade for Hamill and the other guy they got seems to be working.
Matt Wieters is a fantastic player.
Matt Wieters is so good.
I like Matt Wieters as well. I'm a Wieters.
Can we have him? We need a catcher.
I agree. I would easily like Wieters behind the plate over Russ. Like, not even a question, really. Another team speaking of the Royals, since we faced them, they've impressed me a bit too. I mean, they've got a really decent lineup there, I think. And yeah, their record.
Their pitching kind of sucks, but.
Yeah, but I think their record doesn't show the type of team I think they can be.
Yeah, they have a great lineup full of young hitters, but like she said, their pitching definitely is, their starting pitching definitely leaves a lot to be desired at this point.
Yeah, they have to stop starting, I think, Hochever. Duffy's not bad, though.
No, I mean, I would not say that they have a pretty loaded farm system, so you have to think that the arms are on their way, and they have young guys who can throw hard. But right now, I think they need to improve. It would be in the starting rotation. That is what's holding them back right now.
Yeah. Twins look bad.
Awful. Twins look awful.
They look real bad. Angels, again, just shocking how bad they're doing. I mean, I assume they'll turn it around, but Wow, I mean, I don't think anyone expected that. And... yeah, another team that's doing surprisingly bad is the Phillies.
Yeah.
They don't look good at all. I mean...
Their offense is just a disaster.
Yeah, their offense is, like, almost completely collapsed upon itself.
If Cole Hamels is, like, fourth on your team in OPS, you're doing something wrong.
You think the Yankees will go for Hamels next year?
I don't know.
I would kind of have to doubt it if they're serious about this $189 million thing.
Yeah. But I could, like, if there was a, you know, big free agent that they signed, I think it would be Hamels.
Well, you know their love of pitching.
Yep. But, I mean, my hope is that Manban will be great for the rest of the year and that Pineda will be back and be good and we won't need Hamels, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, last I saw, Manban has been doing well in the minors since he came off his injury. He's been pretty rock solid good.
Yeah, he's been doing well.
That's promising. All right, well, let's move on to, of course, my favorite segment, our Yankee and Mitre... oh, that one sucked. ...of the week. See, I can't always do it with perfect precision anymore. I'm not young anymore. But we'll start with you, Waffles. Who is your Yankee of the week?
I'll go with Jeter again.
He's still hitting.
He's still hitting. And, he loves the lefties.
Boy, does he love the lefties.
I mean, he's hitting, like, well over 500 against lefties this season.
Keep him coming.
Please.
Duggan, your Yankee of the week?
Ivan Nova, because he pitched really well last time out.
All right. My Yankee of the week, CC Sabathia. He looks pretty much back to form. He's just been shutting everyone down. He looks really good. I mean, there's not much more you can say. A lot of strikeouts, going the distance. Yeah, I'm happy to see him pitching again. All right, Waffles, your Mitre of the week.
This was not really easy because I don't really think anyone stood out as, like, terrible. But I'm going to go with Teixeira again because last time I picked Teixeira, he actually started to hit afterwards. So hopefully I can, like, send him hitting vibes or something.
Sure, I can get behind that.
Because I really need him to hit.
Oh, where he's hitting the lineup. Yeah, he really should hit. Duggan, your Mitre of the week.
I'll take Eric Chavez for whiplash injuring himself.
Yeah, the man is fresh.
Somehow.
I know.
Hitting his chin on the dirt.
And getting a concussion. I mean...
who knows?
I've seen so many players make that play and not get concussions. But
that was the most confusing, like, 2 minutes ever when he was standing there and he just, like, started freaking out. Because it didn't even occur to me that he had gotten hurt before.
Yeah, it was just like the middle of his at bat and he just couldn't do it anymore.
It's like,
yeah. I was like, did he just spontaneously combust? Like, I don't really understand what's happening. It was like he had something in his eye, but he looked like he was going to be sick and he looked like he was going to faint, but he was holding his back. It was really weird.
Yeah, I agree. My Mitre of the week is Russell Martin. He just looks terrible at the plate. I mean, or at least he did last week.
He hasn't been much better, so.
No. And sometimes you think it's just a glaring hole in the lineup. And, you know, for me, it makes me appreciate the years Posada gave us, because Posada was a fantastic offensive catcher, so getting used to a, you know, defensive catcher again, like we had with Joe Girardi, I guess that was the last, you know, defensive catcher. I think Joe Girardi hit better than Russell Martin did. But That could.
Let's not get carried away.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't know if you want to stat check me on that, but.
I guess somebody has to be nice and say Raul Banez has been good.
He's been hitting well. I mean, which is fine. I mean, good for him.
That's Raul Banez will run into 20 or 25 home runs this year, and that is literally all of the offense he will get for the entire season. It's like, that's which is pretty close to it. Like, and, you know, the Yankees get a lot of guys on base, so if you can hit 20 or 25 home runs, you're contributing.
Yeah.
That's really all, you know, he'll run into a few fastballs and put some over the fence, and that's, and honestly, they don't need him to do much more than that.
And all the time in between, you just have to...
Yeah, you'll have to deal with the ground out to the second base.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really his purpose. That's what they signed him for, and as long as he continues to do that, then I guess they got their money's worth. The important thing, of course, is just he can't play the outfield.
No.
I mean,
keep him far away from that.
I mean, Nunez had never played the outfield before, and I'm like, put him out there over Urbanez. I don't care. He'll make rookie mistakes, but, I mean, I don't think it'll be anything as bad as Urbanez did.
Urbanez, he runs perpendicular to the ball, like, all the time. Like, there's that gif of him, and he's running perpendicular to the ball. And then the other night, he was playing the outfield, and once again, he was going one way, and the ball was going perpendicular to him. It's just like, please learn what a trajectory is. Like, please.
I love how on this podcast, because, I mean, the last podcast, we transitioned to this about 5 times, and we still got a little Urbanez defensive hate in this one, too.
Can't help it. It just has to come out.
I know. All right, well, that's it for our Yankee and Mitres of the week. I guess the minors report is next. Waffles, do you have anything really to add to this?
I don't have a ton. Like we said earlier, Man Ban has been really good since coming off the disabled list, which is certainly promising. And Dellen had a good outing tonight. Jose Campos went on the disabled list with inflammation in his elbow, which is always scary because the Mariners knew something or something.
Their GM is a sinister supervillain.
Damn him. Mason Williams is still hitting well, so that's good. Graham Stoneburner came off the disabled list.
I love that man's name.
Yeah, I'm a fan. And he's on a team that is not very exciting. So.
Which one?
Trenton.
Ah, okay.
Trenton is kind of like a black hole because Scranton has no offense, but they have, like, pretty good pitchers. And Charleston is just loaded with hitters and Campos.
That's where pretty much the future is right now.
Oh, definitely. Like, everyone exciting is at Charleston or the pitching staff at Scranton. Like, in between, there's a whole lot of not so good. Not really exciting stuff.
Not much thunder at the Trenton Thunder team, right?
No, not.
And you know who else was exciting in AAA? Brett Gardner.
I think we should call him up. What do you think?
I think it's about time. Duggan?
I think he's ready.
Yeah, in favor.
You need to both sound more excited about it. Like, this is, like, I don't know, CC Sabathia coming up or something like that. No?
I like Gardner.
Yeah, I like Gardner too.
All right, I'll take that.
I mean, I don't, like, dream about him or anything, but
I
like him.
Yeah, I don't dream about him either.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds convincing.
You know, I offered Jedi $20 and the price of the ball if he would get me an autographed Gardner signed ball down in Scranton. And he has a picture of one, so I think he got that for himself, though.
Hmm.
Which he should do. I mean, you know. It's Gardner.
I tried to get him to hunt down Man-Ban for me tonight.
Did he?
I got a few pictures from before.
I apologize, Waffles, that I did not make it to Garden Gnome Night either.
It's okay. I will go on.
Alright, I guess the injury report is next, and, you know, Swisher's off of it, and Gardner seems like he should be back, you know, if not tomorrow, then, like, in a day or two. So, I think that's all of the major injuries, besides, obviously, the primary one we discussed in length earlier, which I'd rather not bring up again, because it's sad.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Alright, well, I think that pretty much wraps up this podcast. Although Duggan's typing, so, I mean, is he bringing up those, are you bringing up those Joe Girardi stats, or?
No.
Oh, okay, you're just typing.
Yep.
Alright. Well then, I first of all would like to say this podcast was recorded on Waffles' birthday. So happy birthday, Waffles.
Thank you.
I wish it was a better day for you with the Yankees loss and all everything else that happened, but still happy birthday nonetheless.
It sounds so pathetic. Sorry about your birthday.
Well, I never get a Yankee win or loss on my birthday because it's in December, so I don't even get to go to a game on my birthday.
I'm sorry.
I know. I could go on my mom, you know, mom's birthday. I could go Mother's Day, which would technically be the day Pettit came back, so. But no, that's probably not going to happen. Alright, so I guess that's pretty much it for this podcast. Waffles, do you have anything else to add?
I do not.
Duggan, how about you?
Nope.
Alright, so as always, I'll remind you, even though I sometimes forget, you can email us if you so desire. And I do check, I've started checking the emails with surprisingly no results. But you can email us at pinstripealleypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment in the threads, tell us your Yankee and Mitre of the week if you so desire. Or you can actually go to our blog, pinstripealleypodcast.blogspot.com, and check out the podcast there if you want. That's pretty much it for this episode, so for What Would Jeter Do and Lord Duggan, I'm giving you a raise. Thank you for listening, and even though the traitorous bastard said something different tonight, go Yankees go, you are number one.